Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground steel. Rappers with records, revealing the shit, and rappers are coming to get them put on. We needed a platform to fight amazing. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and shadow to call. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows. Plenty of content and you did do everything free to download the stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
We got
trouble
with these, we brought our bitch, we represent. All them chillers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans. Baby, keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm. Come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a madman, going crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's beauty, it's some lights off. Hip hop ain't dead, represent for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, still a mean, sitting on the hips. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. This a murder master music show. Free the homie gangsta, bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show, episode 620. Tonight we got a returning guest who's no stranger to the show. Matter of fact, I've been covering this man's music for about 20 years now, man. It's the one and only Big Court. You know what I'm saying? Let me bring him on right now, the one and only. Big Court, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm good, man. How you doing, bro?
Man, real good, real good. You know what I'm saying? You down with No Limit Forever. Of course, you got True Muscle Entertainment, TME. You're doing your thing, man. Well, what have you been up to lately? I know I got to hook up two hit theaters, man, this month. How has that been, man? What's the success like with that flick?
Man, it's been really good, to be honest with you. I think that it's been a real milestone, a real accomplishment. I mean, I commend Romeo and Pete, you know, for putting their money up and doing it independent without the studios. And we filmed it about a year ago. And, you know, I played a part, Big Cookie, which is a memorable character. So basically it's kind of like if for those who remember the first I got to hook up, you know, you had T-Lay, which is Tiny Lister Debo. He played T-Lay. So I basically play his nephew in the movie. So I'm kind of taking the torch of the bully, you know, in the movies. And but the movie's done phenomenal. I mean, you know, it came out last week, I think it was on the 11th or 12th or something like that of July. And we end up, you know, we end up beating some major studio movies per screen average, you know what I mean? So a lot of people was hating, you know, when the movie came out, man. And, you know, just to kind of touch on that for a second, man, it's like I had to explain to people that they, you know, people was looking at the movie through the wrong lens, you know what I mean? Like they didn't understand that the movie was stylized and it was tailored for the new generation. You know, that's why we had social media celebrities in there, you know what I mean? So, you know, a lot of people were complaining like, oh, you know, I felt like I couldn't follow it. It didn't make sense. But what you have to understand, it was almost like the people 30 and over didn't get it, you know? So it's almost like you have these Instagram clips strung together, but still to tell a story, because that's how the youngsters, you know, that's how their attention span is modulated now. You know what I mean? So, you know, I noticed that, you know, my kids and younger, you know, the younger crowd, like they love it. They die laughing because they just want to be entertained. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was kind of, we got some backlash from the older crowd who, you know, everybody want to be Siskel and Ebert all of a sudden, everybody want to be film critics and shit. And, everybody turned into Spike Lee, you know, and, nevertheless though, we silenced the haters. You know what I mean? We came out, we the number one, urban comedy, you know, in America right now. Like I said, we beat out Stuber. We beat out a couple movies, but namely the movie Stuber with Bautista. And it's a major studio movie. You know what I'm saying? So we winning right now. And that movie, if people haven't seen it, it's available in theaters. They're opening more theater doors as the movie's performing. It's available on Vudu, Amazon, iTunes. I think we were like number 3 or 4 on iTunes. You know, so we killing right now. It's on every platform, on demand, whatever.
See, and that's the thing. You guys, you know what I'm saying, were able to market or tap into a whole different market from the markets that you guys came up in. How were you able to do that? Did you have people like on the team that was more in tune to what the kids were doing nowadays, or were you guys just doing your research? Because obviously,
of course. I mean, I think it's just staying current, man. You can't live in the past. You know, I think that's what a lot of the older rappers, I mean, if you think about it, I'm an OG. I'm what you would consider a young OG. Like you said, you've been covering my career for 20 years, and you got to figure, that's just when I got to that level of being in the magazine. You have to figure, I was putting in work 10 years before that point. You know what I mean?
Before that
point,
yeah.
You know, yeah, so, you know, I think a lot of the disconnect, man, is, you know, and I'll take, you know, our generation has to take some responsibility, you know, because, you know, I look at it like this, right? So if you think about when I grew up on NWA, Ice-T, Ghetto Boys, you know, Spice One, I grew up on that type of stuff, MC8, CMW. So the people before me that grew up on, you know, the Sugar Hill Gang and Funkadelic and even as hip-hop was coming in, you're talking about the, you know, the Treacherous Three and the Furious Five and, you know, people like that. You know, when they heard that gangster rap that my generation swore by, it sounded like garbage to them because it was foreign to them, but it wasn't foreign.
I remember
them.
That.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't like it at
so
all.
Right. It's a revolving door. It's a revolving door. You know what I'm saying? So where when I was 13, 14, the people ahead of me that were maybe 25, 26, you know, they like, this is bullshit. Like, why are they cussing? What's all this vulgarity and all? What are they talking about? They talking about killing people, you know, but we swore by it. We swore that NWA and Eazy-E and all of them was gods, you know? So I understand how it goes. So when I rock with the young generation because I understand that it's music not necessarily for me. So when I look at it through a different lens of not trying to make it like it was in my day and what we consider a standard, then I can just enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing with the movie. So I think that just goes with being a business person, being a boss, being able to reinvent yourself, being able to stay current. Think about it. You know, Ford Motor Company is how many years old? You know, 100 years old? Imagine if they were still trying to make cars that they made when they first started. You know what I'm saying? It's like nobody would buy that
far.
Shit. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they had to change. They have to evolve. They have to evolve with the times. So that's what we did with I Got the Hookup Too. You know, it's not necessarily that we have a team. It's just that we're in business. So our business is to stay current, stay up on what the trends are, stay up on what's hot, what the masses are gravitating toward. You can still keep your integrity, and you can still, you know, keep your brand in solidarity and still make something relevant. It, you know, I think a lot of older rappers, you know, they mess up when they start trying to, you know, rage against the machine and fight for what was. You know what I mean? Like, you know, even Malcolm X said that only a fool trips on what's behind him. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you'd be a fool to try to, you know, relive 96 again. Like, that's gone. You know what I mean?
Well, and you know, to be fair, though, Court, I understand why, because, you know what I'm saying, a lot of those dudes, like you said, that don't really understand what fleeking means, what the fuck a dab is, or all this auto-tune
right.
stuff, you know what I mean? Some of them just don't want to fuck with it, and that's cool, too. You know?
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, it all depends on who you are and what you're willing to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as the movie, though, you know, it silenced the critics, you know what I'm saying? Does this mean there might be a I Got the Hookup Part 3 in the works or something
absolutely.
Like that? Maybe?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll be in pre-production for I Got the Hook Up 3 this fall, you know what I mean? So we start pre-production. We got another movie coming called Get the Bag, which is kind of like the new generation Set It Off, if you needed to compare it to something, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so yeah, man, we're moving forward, man. We're not really trying to dwell on the days of the past, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's new pastures, it's new different things. And like you said, even related to the slang, all the slang I don't get, you know, some of the shit I just don't get because, I mean, it's not for me. I understand it's for the kids,
yeah.
But some of it I get. But think about it. When I was a kid, when we were saying strap, gat, you know, get the gat, you know, jacking and things like that, you know, skrilla, scratch, you know, people before me, they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. They was like, what? Like, that sounds stupid, you know what I'm saying? So I understand, you know, that it goes in. And you know, it's a revolving door. And just like these youngsters, one day, you know, if they're fortunate enough, they'll get older. You know what I'm saying? And it'll be kids that'll look at Dab and look at all that. Like, what the hell is that? That shit's so old.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them will probably look at them crazy with the stuff they come with.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a whole different ball game now. And like you said, if you're going to play in that particular field, you know, if you're doing shit strictly for the underground and you ain't fucking with it, that's cool.
Right.
That's your lane. Stay in your lane,
mm-hmm.
is what I'm saying. And you guys obviously have multiple lanes, you know what I'm saying, because you can go anywhere
mm-hmm.
with the No Limit brand. Let's go back in time, though, a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I know you said you don't
mm-hmm.
want to go in the past too much, but I want to
mm-hmm.
go back to the beginning of Big Court. You know what I'm saying? When
mm-hmm.
did it really start for you as far as the hip-hop game goes? And how did you catch the attention of Master P being in Kansas
right.
City?
Right. Well, you know, for those that don't know, back in the day I was Court Dog. And I was part of the group CCG, which we were a duo, a group out of my partner, with me and my partner Cisco. We was a group out of Kansas City, Missouri. And so, you know, I started really young. You know, I mean, like I said previously, you know, I was influenced by, you know, Eazy-E, NWA, Ice-T, South Central Cartel, MCA. Spice One is, you know, my favorite rapper of all time, even to this day. So, you know, I being influenced by them, of course, you know, Kansas City and the Bay Area have a love affair. You know, we kind of like cousins. So we kind of had that understanding musically. So I basically, you know, we did little local tapes and different things like that. And one day I just got the wild hair up my ass to say, hey, you know, this local thing is cool, but man, let's try to get a record deal. You know, let's try to get out the city. And so I basically sent the tape to a bunch of majors. They sent it back, you know, being, you know, stamped that they didn't accept unsolicited material. I didn't know what the hell that meant, but I just took it like, okay, they don't want me sending them shit no more. So I said, all right. So I just devised a plan to go after what I perceived to be smaller labels, which I didn't have the language of independent. I didn't know that. I knew nothing about the music industry. It was just common sense I was and drive that I was operating off of. So, you know, I sent tapes to Rap-A-Lot, to Ruthless, to Black Market, In a Minute, No Limit, you know, whoever I felt like were just smaller. And, you know, back in the day, they used to have the addresses on the back of the tapes and the CDs or whatnot. And so, you know, I sent the tapes all out to everybody. And quiet as kept, there was a good chance that I would have wound up at Ruthless if Eazy hadn't died. You know, that's kind of one of those things that a lot of people didn't know. Ruthless was really showing us interest. But this was the top of the year of 95. And so Eazy died in March, you know, and so that you know, all communication ceased. And then I think it was that summer we got with Master P. So I sent P a tape. And I just kept calling, stayed consistent. You know, he got wind of it. You know, he called me and was like, hey, I'm doing a compilation called Down South Hustlers. And so he sent for us, flew us out. We did the song R.I.P., me, him, Silk the Shocker, and my partner Cisco. And that was our first gold plat. And so me and P been rocking ever since then. And that was, shoot, that was, what, 23, 24 years ago, something like that.
Wow,
Yeah, yeah, and you guys, because I remember on the inside of that album, they were advertising CCG.
Yeah.
You know, saying, but you didn't at the time. You didn't end up dropping a project with them. You guys end up signing with, I believe, Tobin and King George, right? On their label.
Well, yeah, it was kind of a, that was a very, very, you got to understand, man, we were kids. Like, we were literally, so you got to think, man, we, it's not, you know, it's not like now. Like, now, the cat is out the bag, you know, these kids kind of know, I mean, you have the internet, you have reference point after reference point of, you know, how to do music and what to look for. I mean, think about it, nobody knew about publishing and 360 deals and points and all of that. It wasn't common knowledge like it is now. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying that to say, if you go back to that time, we were just kids fresh out of high school, you know what I mean? And with no reference point of the music industry. So I say that to say that what happened was, it was just kind of a time where I guess No Limit with Tobin and P, you know, and George, they were going through whatever they were going through. We wasn't really privy to that. You know, we were new to the situation. So I just remember, I mean, just to keep it a buck, I remember P calling me like, hey, you know, man, we doing something different, man. I ain't fucking with Tobin or whatever, whatever. And so, you know, I was like, okay, you know, I'm thinking that don't have nothing to do with us. You know what I'm saying? But I still maintained a relationship with Tobin because Tobin was always really, really cool with us, you know, and so was George. And so I guess it was kind of one of those things. So this is what happened. So basically, P wasn't feeling my homeboy. That's what it came down to. Me and P hit it off from the gate. We was super tight, but he wasn't feeling my homeboy. So it was more of a thing where P kind of, I'm not going to say he gave me an ultimatum, but it was kind of like, okay, I'm rocking with you. I fuck with you, but I ain't really digging your boy. So you kind of got to make a decision. So, you know, you're talking about a 17, 18-year-old mind. You know, I'm like, well, shit, I came with him. You know, you have to accept both of us. You know what I'm saying? And on top of the fact that I wasn't confident like that at that point to be a solo artist. You know what I'm saying? So... But me and Pete always maintained a relationship. So to the degree that Tobin and George, they helped us with that first CCG album. And then once we kind of learned the game, I did it myself. And Pete, he would call Southwest and Selecto, and he would kind of press them to kind of like pay me up front for my CDs and stuff. You know what I mean? So he was still helping me and lending his influence, even though I was doing it myself. So that's kind of how that situation went. You know, it was just, you know, we really didn't have, you know, a lot of information on what decisions to make. Now, of course, hindsight's 20/20. Looking back on it, I probably would have did some things different. You know what I'm saying? I mean, of course, people always say, damn, you was solid for doing that, you know, and not leaving your boy. But, you know, as a professional and as a grown man, I mean, I had a child at that time, you know. So I probably would have did it different. I'd have been like, look, check this out. I'm going to go ahead and do this. You know what I mean? You can play the background because you and P is button heads and you really ain't feeling him. He ain't feeling you. So I just keep you out the way. And then once I get in real good, I'll pull you in. You know what I'm saying? And we'll do something different. But that's, you know, but you live and you learn. And it still worked out. You know, it still worked out. So.
Yeah, it did, because, like you said, you end up putting out records yourself. You put out a couple CCG projects. Then you put out them three solo Court Dog albums, you know what I'm saying,
right,
which are underground classics.
Right.
But then eventually, later on, years down the line, you end up hooking back up with P again. And, man, you guys have been just doing stuff nonstop. When did you really get back in the fold with P again?
So you figure that was 95. That we kind of, in terms of just doing the music together, we kind of split, just for a lack of better words. But we always stayed in contact. We always stayed in contact.
Remained friends.
So,
yeah.
We always was cool. We always remained friends. Absolutely. So he ended up moving to LA, I think in 01, 02, and I moved to LA in like 03. You know what I'm saying? So once we got in the same city, that's when we start rocking again, like every day like that. You know what I mean? So yeah, That's it. We've been out in L.A. down there, what, 20 years, you know what I'm saying? So we've been rocking like that.
Ever since, yeah. Yeah, and now yeah. Here you guys are. You guys are partnering up, doing all kinds of different things together. What's the one thing that, after all these years of knowing P, that you could say you've learned the most, or that you took with you, you know what I'm saying, that really stuck with you throughout the years?
Yeah, the funny thing about it, man, is it's times where people that's around us, you know, I've heard it for years. People will laugh and be like, boy, as the years go on, you become more and more like P, more and more like P. And I think that's natural, that when you're around someone so much, you know, you pick up things from them, and they pick up things from you as well. I would say what I learned from P is a few things, but the key thing that I learned from P, and I've watched and witnessed myself, is to have utter confidence no matter what. Like I watch P been in situations where he may or may not have all the information. He may not, you know what I'm saying, but he understands where he's trying to go with it, and he would step into a situation with utter confidence, you know, and I learned that, like, in business, or rather it be, you know, in a performance setting or in business or in a boardroom, utter confidence, you know what I'm saying? You believe it, everybody else around you will fucking believe it, you know what I mean? So, That's a key thing that I learned. And also a work ethic. You know, P is a workhorse, man. He never stops. You know what I'm saying? And to when you start something, you finish it. You know, a lot of people, they start shit and they don't finish it. You know what I mean? They don't complete it. And so that's another thing, follow through, discipline. So, you know, one thing about P, man, is he's very, very disciplined. You know what I mean? He's very... I'm not going to necessarily say structured, but he's very he's a consummate professional when it comes to business, you know what I mean, and follow through. So, you know, you learn that, which I'm already a disciplined individual anyway, but, you know, to actually see it, you know, executed repeatedly, you know, obviously you take on, you know, you take that on. Like I say, man, your vibe attracts your tribe. So, you know, the people that you hang around most is a reflection of where your head is and what you're about, you know what I'm saying? So so naturally, it wouldn't be no surprise that, you know, even within myself, outside of No Limit, I have successful businesses as well. You know what I mean? And, you know, I can attribute some of that success to, you know, the influence of P. You know what I mean?
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Now, when you first met P, you know, Romeo, you know what I'm saying, I don't know if he was just a baby or what. He's grown into his own successful young man. You know what I'm saying? What's it like to see him grow up and now work with him, you know what I'm saying, 2019?
Yeah. Man, it's crazy because I say this, man, and I've said this publicly, man, Rome is such a great kid. I mean, I can't even call him a kid because he's a grown man now, but, you know, I've watched him blossom. Yeah, I watched him blossom into a boss, you know, into a young man, and he's so great with his siblings. You know, he's a great big brother. You know what I mean? You know, none of us are perfect, so I'm not trying to put on like all of us are you know, are perfect. But I'm saying that you know, he works, he puts the work in, he stays working. He has that same work ethic, you know, that his dad, you know, has. You know, he stays doing movies and different things like that. And, you know, him and P, you know, for this I Got the Hook Up too, you know, they gave us all in terms of actors, you know, not just myself, but other comedians that, you know, otherwise, even some of the celebrity, you know, social media celebrities, you know, this is their first movie. You know what I'm saying? So they may be social media famous, but that doesn't really resonate, you know, outside of social media. You feel what I'm saying? So, you know, you got to think, Hollywood wouldn't even fuck with some of these guys. That's what a lot of people don't understand. You know, Hollywood wouldn't allow them to be who they are just to have a script as a fucking, you know, just as an outline and then say, okay, do what you do. You know what I mean? Like, so that's where, you know, P and Romeo came in to say, hey, you know, do your thing. You know what I mean? We're going to let you shine. So, but, you know, yeah, Rome has become a great, you know, young man, you know, and I love the way he is with his siblings, man. He's a good role model for them.
Yeah, most definitely. He's a leader. know what I'm saying? He's and you can tell P instilled those qualities into him, you know, because he's definitely following his father's footsteps. Man, last time we had you on the show, Court, you know, man, or since last time, you know, we lost a few people, one of them being the late, great DJ Ready Red of the Ghetto Boys, and then within less than a year later, someone you work with, Bushwick Bill, the Ghetto Boys. Man, what are your thoughts on Bushwick, and if you can share any stories that you have with him over the years, that would be great.
Man, you know what? Bushwick was a interesting character, man. I had the honor of meeting dude and working with him. You know, we had he his manager at the time. I met Bill in the early 2000s, and his manager at the time was someone that I was working with, Rick Robinson. And so Rick Robinson was managing him, Cuckoo Cow, and Busy Bone at the time. And so Busy Bone was trying to start a spinoff for Bone Thugs and Harmony called Mob Life. And they had me up as I was like one of the first people they called, right? So, you know, we were putting together this group called Mob Life. And so that's where the connection came. And so when I did the movie, Young American Gangster / Still Here, I had did the movie with Cat Williams. And so I needed to do the soundtrack. So, you know, I knew that Bushwick, you know, I was always a fan of Ghetto Boys, and he was low-hanging fruit. So I was talking to Rick one day, and Rick was like, yeah, Bill's out there. Shoot, I was telling him about you, and he said that, you know, he'd get on your album. I was honored. I was like, shit, cool. You know what I mean? And so Bill came through the studio. I was recording with Kenny McLeod at Black Hole Studio, which Kenny produced or co-produced a lot of Bone Thugs and Harmony stuff, and they recorded a lot. Easy used to record at Black Hole. That's why I wanted to go over there. You know, I'm a big Eazy-E fan, so I feel like I want to go where E used to go, you know. And so Bushwick came through, and, you know, we hit it off. But me and Bill ended up kind of getting into it that night because, you know, Bill was a, you know, he was a character. But I'll say this, though, before I get into that, you know, Bill was one of the most intelligent, well-spoken, articulate people I've ever talked to. You know what I mean? I would have to say him, Bun B, Cat Williams, and X-Rated, you know, from Sacramento, are some of the brightest minds that I've ever encountered. You know what I mean? So Bill, you know, he had pissed me off because he was supposed to be doing a song for me. I had the beat, right? So I guess he didn't realize that I really was a fan. You know, I was a fan as well. So being a fan, I know your fucking catalog. You know what I mean? So he got in there, and he tried to do an old verse from No Retreat or No Surrender, No Retreat. It was a song on their Tragedy, and it happened to be one of my favorite songs on that album. So when he got in the booth and he did it, so I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this shit sounds familiar, you know, like, you know, then I started rapping along with it. And I was like, hold on. So I told Kenny, I said, man, stop that shit. I said, Bill, I was like, man, what the fuck? Like, dude, I know that song. That's some old shit. What are you doing? He was like, he started laughing, you know. He was like, well, the beat just spoke to me and I thought that it would sound good on that. I'm like, hell nah, that's some old shit. Like, you know, what are you doing? And so he started laughing, but he tried to give me some shit in behind it, too. He low-key was, like, trying to, like, press me a little bit. And so I remember thinking to myself, like, man, I don't want to have to, you know, punt this dude, you know, I mean, like a football. I don't want to have to kick him and punt him like a football, you know. And so we end up laughing about it. And but I'm saying that to say Bill ended up staying with me for, like, 2 weeks. After we did that song, he stayed with me for like 2 weeks. And so I remember my son was a kid, and my son just I remember he looked at him like he was a big toy, my son. And Bill popped his eye out on my son. You know, he pulled his eye out and was like, yeah, look at that, you know, because Bill was kind of like a jokester too, you know. And so my son used to get a big kick out of him pulling his eye out. But Bill was a good dude, man, just super, super smart, you know. And one thing I'll never forget is he introduced me to those nasty ass tacos from Jack in the Box, man. You know, he's the I never went to Jack in the Box before him. And he was like, yeah, you never had the tacos at Jack in the Box? And they had a big ass box of like 10 of them. And I said, no. And he was like, yeah, here, you know, try it. And I got, you know, man, I've been eating them things ever since. You know what I mean? So, you know, shout out to Bill, man. Rest in peace to Bill. He was a great talent. You know, dude had a great personality and sense of humor, you know. And even though he was a little difficult in the studio, we still got it done, which ended up being the song Break Something. On the Still Here song. And he wanted me to do a verse. He wanted me to do a verse, but I felt like the song, I felt like he did such a great job after I fussed at him for about an hour. He did such a great job, I didn't want to touch it. I was like, nah, it's good like it is, bro. This is all you, and I'm going to put it on my soundtrack. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, it was a blessing to be able to work with him and know him, you know what I'm saying? Being he was someone I grew up on and looked up to, you know.
And y'all, I mean, like you said, you didn't want to get into an altercation with him, and it turned out to be a real positive thing, and you guys had a great relationship. And
absolutely, absolutely.
You know, yeah, man, shout out to him, man. I just had his son, you know what I'm saying, Young Noah, on the show last week, and it sounds just like his father. You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Let me say this about Bill, though. Let me say this about Bill, yeah. Man. Bill did not back down. That was the thing that it was like when I say we had a confrontation, it was like, it threw me off because you got to understand this is somebody I idolize, somebody I'm a fan of. But then at the same time, I'm like, but damn, he's low key trying to punk me, right? But then, of course, I'm tripping off the fact that he's a little person. And then I'm tripping off the fact, like, then you're kind of confused because you don't know what to do. It's like, well, damn, if he was anybody else, I'd probably been and slapped him. But one is Bushwick, and then it's two, and then it's like, well, I mean, what do I do with this? I mean, how do you handle this? But Bill wasn't backing down. Bill he stood there and looked at me like do something, and he talked some shit too. And so we end up laughing, you know, kind of laughing it off, and we worked it out. But dude was not backing down. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was with the shit. Whatever I wanted to do, Bill was ready to do.
He was fucking hilarious because we had him on the show with DJ Paul, and him and Paul were going back and forth with each other about skinny jeans. And Paul started chanting Bushwick Bill in tight pants, and Bushwick started chanting DJ Paul in tight pants. I mean, it was just fucking hilarious, you know. But
he had a hell of a sense of humor. He had a hell of a sense of humor. You know, he would keep you laughing. You know, so.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Big Court, we're going to go to a break real quick. Then I want to come up and chop it up with you for a little bit more. I want to go off into this song I got here. You know what I'm saying? It looks like you might have derived some motivation from Rocky IV because it's called If He Dies, He Dies. kind of intro this track and describe what's going on with this one.
Oh, that's funny, man. So this song was just something I did for fun, to be quite honest with you, man. You know, it's called, you know, I had a little friendly rivalry with, you know, this is some Kansas City politics, you know what I mean? I had a friendly rivalry with two guys out of my city, and they made a diss song about, well, one of them made a diss song about me first. And so, you know, but what we wanted to do, put it in proper context. We wanted to bring that old school hip hop back to where it was on wax, you know what I'm saying? Because we felt like, you know, kind of to the point you and I was talking about, we felt like, okay, you know, rapping got soft, and then to some degree, they try to be too hard and take it too serious. So we like, we'll keep it on wax, you know what I mean? And so we had the whole city thinking we were really beefing, but really we was talking on the phone afterwards laughing about it, you know what I mean? So, you know, we just wanted to show that you could, you know, get on wax, show what you got to do, what you got to do, and still respect each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Well, let's give him this track, and we'll come right back and chop it up some more with Big Court right here on the Murder Master Music
cool.
Show.
Yeah, Big Court, TME. Man, I just want to know, man, when it become cool for fake niggas to diss real niggas? Man, y'all better put some respect on my name, nigga. And while you at it, nigga, you better go play with something safe. I woke up in my mansion and I hopped on Facebook Live. I see a broke ass nigga smoking Reggie, telling lies. Damn, this nigga be capping.
Damn.
Now I can tell he ain't even
broke.
Nigga be high on that powder.
Damn.
Nigga be on live geeking,
squeaking.
Yeah, yeah. Heard you got that scar from eating pussy. Let the 60 tell it, nigga. Yeah, you been a pussy.
Clown.
We all know you a fraud.
Fake.
You make the city look bad.
Bad.
From 435 to 435, Blue Magic's trash.
Trash.
Yeah, yeah. I will slap you, nigga, then trash you, nigga. Always got somebody's name in your mouth when nobody asked you, nigga. You got that hatin' bad. You's a super goofy. Always dissing Marley Young, cause you hit super groupie.
Yeah.
We watched you cop deuces, scared to take the fade with street. Claiming 27, cause 60 niggas made you beat your feet.
You ran.
Shout
nigga.
Out the 60s, Russ, Twine, Tuggy, Popper, and Blue. I'm from the 4 block, but I got more love from your hood than you.
Than you.
But your hate don't bother me.
Nah.
On your face, I see poverty.
Yeah.
You should be getting to the bag.
Yeah.
But you worry about where your baby mama be. Talking about F. Dot Edgar. That shit lame, little cousin.
Corny.
Just like Rilla Dilla. Fake ass Crips, fake ass Muslim. Arthur Ego nigga, with a speech impediment. How you two niggas claim to put niggas on when y'all both irrelevant?
Nobody.
Your money's like Movado, your numbers never show. This shit is all facts, show me where a lie's been told.
Yeah, this is all facts, where's the lie?
These niggas don't want no smoke.
If he dies, he dies. Yeah, this is all facts, where's the lie?
These niggas don't want no smoke.
If he dies, he dies. Yeah, this is all facts, where's the lie?
These niggas don't want no smoke.
If he dies, he dies. Yeah, this is all facts, where's the lie?
These niggas don't want no smoke.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah, Rilla Dilla, we'll slap, nigga. Hey, y'all days is numbered, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Told y'all, y'all trying to play with a nigga. Nigga, you better play with something safe. You know what I'm saying? I had to hop out the Bentley for a second and hop in the box Chevy on your ass. Had to come up out the mansion, go to the trap house on your ass. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Nigga, slap of the trash, nigga, that shit done. Nigga, your days is numbered. Rilla Dilla show. Nigga, ay, y'all careers is in the palm of my hand, nigga. It can be whatever you want it to be, nigga. You can roll or get rolled over, nigga. It's a whole new government in the town, nigga. TME. No Limit Forever, Big Court, yeah, Royce J, Jesse Pringle, nigga, yeah, yeah, we about to take this shit over, nigga. No Limit series coming soon.
Yeah, we're back right here, episode 620, Murder Master Music Show. We got Big Court, you know what I'm saying, new No Limit, TME, True Muscle Entertainment. Man, that's what I'm talking about. Well, whatever happened in that situation, I think it's safe to say that you won that.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. I mean, it was never a doubt that I wasn't going to win. You know, and the killing part about it was, you know, my artists, they threw some jabs too. You know, so it was a back and forth type thing. You know what I mean? And yeah, we came out victorious, of course. You know. And but it was good, man. I think it was good for the local scene, you know, get the blood pumping, get some excitement in the game, you know. And again, you know, we grew to bosses, man. I'm a boss, so I try to lead by example, and I try to, you know, I'm in a different space in my life, and I try to, you know, let these youngsters know that, you know, you gotta, you know, it's getting older and getting more mature and getting better. You know, that's not a luxury that's afforded to everybody. But, you know, when you know better, you do better. So it's the same way that P tried to, you know, he tries to dead the beef between the youngsters and with Yo Gotti and Young Dolph. You know, he tried to dead that and try to do his part as an OG. So that's the same thing that I tried to do, specifically speaking to Kansas City, because a lot of those cats, you know, they get into these little rap battles or whatever, and, you know, everybody want to be hard, but like I tell them, you know what I'm saying, the cemetery full of tough niggas, but, you know, the penitentiary,
yeah,
full
real.
Of niggas that had to show, you know, but the penitentiary is full of, you know, niggas that had to show them tough niggas what time it was, you know, so it's a lose-lose situation, you know what I mean? So, you know, hip-hop was a gladiator sport, rap was a gladiator sport, you know, so, I mean, I took it back to the NWA, No Vaseline days, because truth be told, you know, Easy and Dre, they lived in the same subdivision. You know, they used to talk. So when you had real Compton City G's and you know, that whole Dre Day or whatever, you know, them niggas was talking about putting together an NWA reunion, you know what I'm saying? But they knew they were selling records. You feel what I'm saying? So, you know, that's kind of where we were taking it. Kind of like, okay, we're going to lead by example. Yeah, we can talk shit. We can turn up. We can make it entertaining. But at the end of the day, don't nobody got to die. So that's what that was about, you know.
Yeah, and it's real. At the end of the day, you don't want anybody to die. I mean, it's enough killing going on in the world, you know, and it's good that it was a positive outcome, you know. What do you do, you know what I'm saying, with cats coming up under you, you know what I'm saying, you being one of the pioneers in Kansas City, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
when you do see beef like that in your city, does someone like yourself kind of do what P did with Young Dolph, kind of step in the middle and
absolutely.
Be like, hey, guys, man,
slow
it down.
Yeah, I've done that a few times. I've done it with these two cats. Shout out to Lindell from KCK and shout out to Young Cat. These are two guys that I saw that was from the city that, you know what I mean? They was both, you know, extraordinarily talented people. Young Cat, he do his thing. He a blood, you know. Lindell, he a Crip, you know. And I seen that it was escalating past music and it was getting bad. And I made an OG call and I stepped in and I hollered at both of them. You know, like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, basically just offline, like, hey, y'all, I got them on three-way. It was like, dog, like, you know, this is some bullshit, man. It's too much money out here. It's too, I already been there. I've been there, done that. So, you know, I know what it lead to. I know what all, it's nothing, you know, because when you get to this point in my life, you understand that this is the thing. It's not the thing that you get solved. You just understand what's important. Like, you know, like when I do business, when you go into a bank or you trying to get a home loan and you trying to, you know, send your kids to college and, you know, you doing different things like that, they don't give a fuck how many people you shot. They don't give a fuck how real you kept it. They don't give a fuck about your street cred. You see what I'm saying? So, what, you know, it's all a trick, because what happens is if you are blessed enough to make it through the streets, then you wind up at a stage in your life where it's like you know, you're too young to get Social Security, but you're too old to work, you know, and you didn't acquire no skill. You didn't learn nothing. You didn't save nothing. You didn't invest nothing. You see what I'm saying? So all you got is war stories to tell, and nobody gives a fuck, because guess what? The youngsters under you, they don't give a shit. They look at you as an old head now, so they don't care what you did. They don't even want to take direction from you. They don't even want to take game from you because they consider you obsolete. They consider you a non-factor because now you're old. You see what I'm saying? But what they don't realize,
oh, yeah,
if you're not careful, if they're not careful, then they'll wind up that old nigga they looking at. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I try to tell guys. Like, you know, you want to make decisions predicated on where you're trying to go, not necessarily where you are. And I get it. Some guys don't think they're going to live to be that old. But just in case you do, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, start making some moves in case you're still here, you know, and try to move so you can still be here. So, you know, that's what I try to tell the young guys. Like, I mentor, you know, young guys. I talk to kids and different things like that as well. So I try to let them know, man, I made it to the other side. And when I moved to the suburbs out the hood, I started noticing the shit that I thought was important in the hood. Man, that shit don't even... You know, hell no. Don't nobody care about that shit. When I was trying to do business at the bank and trying to get loans and, you know, leverage properties because I have real estate, different things like that, never once did they ask me, so, yeah, how 100 you keep it? You know what I'm saying? How many niggas you shot? How many times you been shot? You know what I'm saying? How many times you been to jail? You know what I'm saying? You know, how many niggas you knocked out? They never once asked me that. So I was like, well, shit, that shit don't add to nothing. You know what I mean? So I just try to tell the truth. That's all. It's cool to do the music. Don't get me wrong. I come from that. I understand even if you're in that world, you got to keep that edge. I get it. But that's not the end-all, be-all. That's all I try to just tell them the truth. You know what I mean?
And I respect you for that, Court. And I'm glad you are still here because, you know what I'm saying, I know just from talking to you over the years, and you're really in it. You know what I'm saying? You're really out there doing your thing, and you could easily have been taken out the game or thrown away in the clink forever. You know, so I'm glad you hear.
I done made hell of mistakes.
Example for these kids, you know.
This is the thing, bro. I always say, man, you listen to your OGs. It's not because we did everything right. Sometimes it's because we have more experience doing shit wrong. You know what I mean? So I made a lot of the mistakes. That's why I'm able to tell them, save them some trouble, you know, to say, hey, dog, I busted my head. I fell on my ass doing it like this, thinking that, you know, I was grown. And, I went to jail at 15 years old, you know, looking at juvenile life just to go to the fucking penitentiary. They want to keep me in juvenile until I'm old enough to go to the penitentiary because of the state that I'm in. You know what I mean? So, you know, I know what that's like. I know what it's like to, you know, have people come pick you up for a murder charge. You know what I'm saying? I know what it's like for bullets to hit your body. Bullets to, you know, because you get a bullet, you got to be down to take some too. You know, but at the end of the day, I still always had it in my mind that there was something more for me. You know, that okay, you know, this ain't it. You know, I always had this thing where I felt like I was special for whatever reason. I'm sure that was attributed to my mother. But, you know, so you got to find something to live for. And that be the thing, man. You know, I tell these young guys, you're not afraid to die. So why are you so afraid to live if you really think about that mentality? You know what I'm saying? You're not scared to ride around with the chopper. You're not scared to ride around with the stick. You're not scared to sell this little dope. You know, that'll probably get you 20 years and you got an ounce or two. Like, I'm not knocking it, but I'm just saying. So you're not scared to do that. But why are you scared to try? Because you're scared to fail. So you're scared to try something different, you know, because it's uncomfortable. But that's the thing, man. I tell these kids, man, like, you know, complacency is the enemy of progress. So the minute that you become comfortable in a situation, you're not growing no more, you know. So you're just doing it because it's comfortable, man. You got to challenge yourself. So me and P, that's what we do. We lead by examples. You know what I'm saying? You know, P would tell anybody, Court's a boss. You know what I'm saying? He'll go on record and say, man, you know, Court been around me a long time. He grew to be a boss. But being a boss is being able to put other people in position. And it's not just financially. But you have to have your mind right to be able to be blessed with the financial part of it. Because you can give any fool off the street $1 million. He'll be broke in a month. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you got to get your mind right, you know, to be able to receive the blessing and to be able to receive the game and then apply it. Because, you know, knowledge and applied knowledge is two different things. So, you know, yeah, that's where I'm at with it. You know, I still keep it gutter and still keep it gangster with the music and the whole movement. But at the same time, we all still live in real lives, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're fathers and, you know, people, you got to grow and adapt over the years, man. It's real tough.
Yeah, you got to.
The homie Sim from France, he's got a question or two he wants to ask you, and then I want to give you the floor because I know we got some projects to talk about that's coming up. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Sim, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, Big Coach. What's up?
Hey, what's going on with your fam?
Fine. Can you tell us about the song you did back the day on your classical album, Party Rock? It was a real shit. It was a dope track back in the day.
Which one? Say it again.
Real shit on a Pulling Rank album.
Real shit off the Pulling Rank album.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What about it?
Yeah, how it was to drop this hardcore shit and back in the day, it was real on the side.
Okay.
Basically, break down the track.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, real shit. Damn, that was like 20 years ago. I do remember the track. Cisco produced that track. He produced a lot. Probably my first two solo albums. I take that back. He produced the Pulling Rank. I produced most of Thug's Diary, and I had a bunch of producers on Kansas City Chief. But I don't know. I was experimental a lot back then. You know what I mean? Like, as an artist, I was just very experimental, you know. And I think some of that was because I was never, quote-unquote, produced. You know what I'm saying? So it's a difference when you have somebody like a Dr. Dre. You know, they find your strengths, and then they play off of the strengths, and they build everything around you. So, you know, we were underground. You know, we was in the streets with it, and we could do what we were independent. We could do whatever we wanted to do. So I liked the fact that I could be creative And that's why you had songs like Blow the Club Up and Bloodbath and The Real Shit, you know what I'm saying? That was just me just being experimental, man, just spreading my wings and wanting to do and knowing that I could do whatever the fuck I wanted to do because I own the shit, you know? So that's really what that was about.
Playing Wrong was a very dope album, and I know you Scott, you review him on Murder Dog and Buddha Man. Remember that? Yes.
What did you say, Murder Dog? I'm sorry, because it's hard for me to hear him. What did you say? What did he say, Scott?
He's talking about in the Murder Dog, the ad in the Murder Dog that you had, I believe. Is
which
that
one?
You used the album back in the day.
Album. Oh, yes, I did review it. Classic.
Exactly.
One of the best
episodes
of 99, man.
Yes, sir.
I know it was in my year-end special review of the best of the best that year because it was a hell of an album. Not only did it represent the Midwest, but, man, really there wasn't nothing that harder than that. I mean, plus on the inside cover, man, you had some – eye candy that 18 and older could only view. That was an added bonus, you know.
Man, I was buck wild. I was buck wild back then, you know. And when I did Pull and Rank, you got to understand, Pull and Rank was, you know, I got to give Cisco a lot of credit because he really supported me through that. See, a lot of people didn't understand the dynamic of the CCG. See, CCG was me and Cisco. But he was the creative force. He was the producer. He was pretty much in the studio with it, and I was the business. You know, I was the person, the spokesperson for the group. I was the manager. I was the one getting us on compilations and different things like that. So I was the one that was doing, you know, that type of stuff. So for me to do the Pull and Rank album and step out, you know, with my first solo album, he supported me a whole lot. And I just had something to prove with Pull and Rank. That's why I called it Pull and Rank because, you know, I wanted to come out swinging and let people know I could hold my own and I wanted to be respected, you know. And it was a great time in my life, too, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we were really just on the music and just chasing the dream. We were traveling, you know, we were still trapping. You know, it was a fun time, to be quite honest with you. I mean, we did shows in cities and, you know, when you trying to come up, you know, we on stage with pistols on us and, you know, a few times our pistols just slipped down our pants leg and we got to play it off in front of everybody. And, you know, we didn't have to jump out the window of hotel rooms. We didn't have gotten shootouts. So it was a crazy time, but a really fun time that was necessary for us to get to the point we got to, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, man. And, you know, you got a lot of stuff coming. We're about to get up out of here, about to run out of time, but I want to give you the floor, Court. Let everybody know about, I know you got, some stuff coming up with No Limit. You got a TV series, and then you got some True Muscle Entertainment EME projects coming up as well. So I'm going to just give you the floor, brother. It's all yours.
All right, so we got so what we got coming next is we got Royce J. That's one of my artists. He was featured on my Boomerang album. If the people don't have Boomerang Volume 1 and 2 is available on all platforms. It features Master P, Silk the Shocker, you know, all the No Limit people. It's got Royce J on there, Jesse Pringle, Black and Mild. But Royce J is my main artist. He's a young guy from Kansas City. He's got a new album called Energy that's coming out in a few weeks. His other album, Fresh Prince, came out about a year ago. So if you ain't heard that, check that out. Then we got my R&B artist, Jesse Pringle. He's got one song on the radio, and he's got a couple videos out. He's actually got a song on I Got the Hook Up 2. That are the part two of I Got the Hook Up 2 soundtrack that'll be out in October. And then we got the No Limit series, which is basically a 10-episode TV series that stars me, Jesse Pringle, and my artist Royce J. We got some celebrities attached to it, some famous people as well. I'm going to keep that as a surprise. The trailer will be out probably within another week. You'll start seeing the promotions for the trailer. But basically the series is about, it's No Limit, and it's kind of like a double entendre, meaning that meaning No Limit, obviously, because I'm a part of No Limit, but it also means just no limit to the story plot. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no limit to what we'll do in the story. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like Power meets Get Rich or Die Trying meets The Wire. You know what I'm saying? So it's some gangster shit.
Wow.
You know, so it's called the No Limit series. So, you know, we got that coming, man. And, you know, of course, I got the True Muscle Sports. And I also got a reality show that me and Debo from Friday, Tiny Lister, we have a reality show on the table. We shoot the pilot in about a week. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you'll be seeing that on networks probably top of 2020. So I'm working, man. You know, music, movies, and TV, that's what we got. And of course, there's a 50-50 chance you might see me in the next Friday movie with Ice Cube. So you might see me the next Friday as well. You know, so I got a lot of big things, man, with the music and the movie. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I got a lot of big things going. A lot of big things.
Well, I remember when you were transitioning from the rap into the movies, and it seemed like it went real smooth, but you didn't just jump into movies like a lot of people do. You actually went and got classes, and you did it the right way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people
absolutely
won't do that.
Yeah, you got to put in the
dude,
work, man.
Michael B. Scott, wasn't he your acting coach?
Yeah, Larry B. Scott. Larry B. Scott,
yeah, my bad.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, he was my acting. He still is. He still is my acting coach. So, you know, you got to put the work in, man. You know, just like the music shit, just like anything. You know, if you building a physique, you know, like I'm in the healthy living. You know, I have to put the work in to get my physique like it is. You know, I got the True Muscle Sports, the protein powder, you know, the pre-workout. So you got to understand, you know, my lineage is Master P and No Limit. I graduated from the University of No Limit. So you're always going to have product, you know. So for me, you know, doing these movies and different things like that, you know, I own the No Limit series. You know what I'm saying? I own my label. So, you know, the same thing, I own my products, my protein powders. I have a partnership that I did with Dr. Sebi Sun. I have my own CBD pain stick for muscle pain, and then I have my own muscle pain salve, you know, that's a topical. So I have that about to drop in about a month, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's what we do over here at No Limit, man. We enterprise, you know, so we own shit. It's all about ownership, get you some product. You know, we got the Magnati shoes that's doing really, really well. You know, the P has out the high fashion Italian sneakers, you know what I mean? So, that man, we working over here. You know, we just putting in the work.
Well, I tell you what, Court, I really, really appreciate you. It's always an honor. And before we do get out of here, man, give them your contact info if anybody wants to holler at you or work with you. You know what I'm saying? Let them know how to do that. And thanks again, man, for stopping by and chopping it up with us. Always, always honored.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. It's always a pleasure. They can catch me at I Am Big Court on Instagram. I Am BIGCOURT. They can subscribe to the True Muscle Entertainment Facebook page. And you can check out the YouTube page, True Muscle Entertainment, as well. And, you know, just holler at us. We got a lot of stuff coming, a lot of dope stuff. So if you ain't up on me, get up on it. And if you ain't seen I Got the Hookup too, go check it out in your local theater or on the, you know, digital platform.
Most definitely, most definitely. Everybody make sure to do that. Once again, I want to thank the homie Big Corp for coming back on the show. Keep messing with us, you know what I'm saying, UGSForLife.com. For those of you just tuning in, missed this interview, don't worry, it'll be up at the site this evening, man. So about another hour or so. So thank you very much. We're going to get out of here. Peace.